Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Oh, madam, your canine lady friend has arrived for her stay. I'll be tending to the guest.
She's very nearly one of your kind, darling. Could you please be a bit more cordial toward her?
She's nothing of the sort. Far more mutt than wolf.
Oswang hags are a majestic breed, I'll have you know.
Yes, and I'll have you know, she's just majestically dragged her bottom on the breezeway rug.
Oh, how ignominious!
Good evening. Oh dear. I see several of you are rushing over to the hospitality tray. Just let me warn... not warn. Let me inform you about your, impending selections, dear guests. My. First, I'm proud to say that all of the luscious and mysterious edibles this evening have been made for you by... I was going to say my oldest grandmothers and aunts. And a few of their friends, but I'll say my most wise and mature grandmothers, aunts, and a few of their friends. All of them very caring and exacting women. Excuse me. They've brought sweet treats like Turkish Delight and an amazing gingerbread house. That Mr. Montague has just snapped the chimney off of. Oh my. There's some kind of savory stew in the tabletop cauldron. Kettle. There's something blatantly named Transformation Cheese, like the days of old, on that platter. So swim at your own risk there. Dear Aunt Wendy has sent her best Night Twist wine, which she has refused to say why it's called that. She's something else, Aunt Wendy. The little cards at the end denote that their platter has fallen fruit pies and naughty cakes, which I cannot say I know all that much about. I do know that Irma did eat one of the naughty cakes earlier and gave just the corner of it to one of the wolf pups. And we've had to excuse them for the evening, as they were both doing something akin to, you know, howling and speaking in tongues. Or something like that. Anyway, I'm sure you won't be affected in the same way. Enjoy. Welcome to the Midnight Library, everyone. I am your host, here in her pre-hag state, Miranda Merrick. I should like to begin tonight by addressing the elephant hag in the room. This is the negative connotation surrounding the word hag, which I'm nearly certain I may have politely or briefly mentioned in an earlier reading, simply because of the distinction's importance. Hag is an extremely old and fascinating word that's roots are buried deep in several ancient cultures. In short, it used to mean several things that sort of morphed into a similar thing, sort of. The word is amorphous, actually, just like a hag should be, because in some past times folklore that's referenced still today, the hag is seen as a kind of fairy or an older woman capable of shape-shifting for either malevolent or benevolent purposes. Their actions of either intention often being graced upon or inflicted upon both adults and children. Long before the word was predominantly an insult, at least in some people's minds, in Old English, the word was hagetous, meaning such many things as a wise woman, a soothsayer, old soul, a spirit, a fairy, elder woman, a witch, or a healer. In Old Dutch, the word was hex, H-E-K-S, which is linked forever with Old Germanic speech, in which it was hexe, H-E-X-E, derived from the word hexen, meaning witch, a powerful, magical, or knowledgeable woman. And strangely, it also meant hedge rider. And this is the best curious fun, because the word hedge in past times meant a boundary or a fence. It could be either a living boundary, as we would think of a green blooming hedge today, or it could be a human-made fence of wood or wire dividing the property, or even a boundary of divination, dividing life from death. The common everyday world, heaven from earth or hell, or the forbidden and unseen realm. And hags or hedge riders were known to have a foot in both worlds, whichever they might be. Some believed hags to be a type of being entirely unto themselves, ambivalent goddesses or witches, who could be wise and helpful, or frightening and destructive? It probably depends very much on how they are treated. And because some rumors are true, my lovelies, and there are many tough old witches about. I'm kidding, just kidding. We, this night, are going to have stories and glories about the more dreadful hags, mostly. I mean, let's face it, you cannot have an up without a down, or a back without a front in this mean old world. So you cannot have good without evil, or sunshine without terror. This, my lovelies, is the yin and yang of life and death. Isn't that what all the grand philosophers all say? Now, let us meet some lovely old hags. Oh, my stars. Where to start? Let's get the children out of the way. Not like that. I don't mean it like that. But Nellie Longarms of England might. Said to be a water spirit hag, Nellie, with her spindly, slimy green arms and her mucky, ropey hair, dwells patiently just beneath the surface, in stagnant ponds, dammed rivers, and lonely lakes. Then whoosh, up out of the bed of cat-o'-nine-tails she shoots, grasping the ankle of some dull child, pulling them down for her dinner. They go missing, and nothing is ever found. But why? I hear you nearly pathetically ask. Well, I could just say that it's that no up without a down thing at work, the thing I mentioned earlier. But the best basic answer is, because in truth, many children in the past, and sadly even today, they often just disappear and are or were taken for the most heinous reasons, and either were never found, or had fallen into the water and drowned, or maybe even were drowned by some unknown sinister character. Nellie Longarm's history, though, is rather complex and fascinating. In short, she is believed to be an echo of the far-reaching past in pagan times, when women like her, crones, were worshipped as water spirit goddesses. And to be absolutely fair to her, which would be smart, I am pleased to tell you that there are early Germanic and English tales where Nellie and perhaps her sister beings, Peg Pallor and Jenny Greenteeth, were spoken of as protectors or guardians of children, appearing in all of their ghastliness up from the depths, frightening the youngsters away from the swiftly moving or deep and deadly waters. See how the tables were turned? Maybe it depended upon the children, but most likely, it just became acceptable in time to villainize women and portray them as evil or something to be feared that actually became the norm. Oh dear, an interruption. How nice. What? Yes, Mr. Lascivio. Yeah. Can you date a hag? Funny you should ask. Tonight's reading, In the Midnight Library, is brought to you by the Broom and Fang Pub. This Friday night is Snag a Hag Night at your favorite speakeasy. Just let me ask you, dear guest, if all is glum and life is a drag, have you ever thought of dating a hag? Hags, we believe, and think you'll find, offer fickle love, the supernatural kind. Not all hags are only for hating. Try the Broom and Fang's Hag Speed Dating. This Friday night, put your butt in a booth and meet three hags with only one tooth. Number one has warts and shining eyes, but two has a laugh that shoots out flies. Three seems reserved, but emits a low sound, and hair on her chest like an Afghan hound. Number one seems shy like a hidden gem. Her skin is light green and coated in phlegm. Two is uncertain. Her eyes have gone narrow. She imagines you with the head of a sparrow. Three might be the hag of your dreams. She asks to hear some sample screams. Her blood-red eye gives a flirty wink. Now you order that hag a rot-gut drink. You, yes you, no matter who you are or how low your standards, there's a gruesome hag gal pal waiting for you this Friday night at the Broom and Fang Pub. You'll have 3 minutes to ask three questions or be ripped into three pieces. Take a chance on what's forbidden. With any luck, you'll be hag-ridden.
The Broom and Fang is not responsible for, nor the collection of, your individual pieces.
We'll see you this Friday night at the Broom and Fang Pub. Now, from the mysterious country of Romania, I desperately want to introduce you to the dualistically natured hag, Muma Păduri. Muma, meaning mother, and Păduri, meaning woods or forest. Muma Păduri is a large and grizzled woman who dwells in a secret and darkened cottage deep in the forest, which sounds familiar around here. Many who have had the misfortune of encountering her describe her as grotesquely frightening, with cracked and segmented skin like bark. But as the story goes, this may be her choice, because Muma Păduri is a shape-shifting being, capable of changing at will into a strikingly beautiful woman, or an old man, or a nun, or even the very living thing she's most associated with, a tree. Remarkably, she is not known for being a flesh eater, but rather a healer, mostly of the animals that dwell within her forest. She is said to know all of the right plants, seeds, shoots, and mushrooms to render down and mix into potions in order to nurse sick animals back to robust health. Solely, she is the custodian of the forest. And woe to thee, anyone who disrespects the forest. Because in a sacred book here, there's a story of a man passing through the forest, who was carelessly snapping off branches in his path and trampling new seedlings under his clunky feet. In the coming weeks, his health grew poor, and both he and his house began to crumble. If Mooma Paduri does encounter a lost child in her woods, she is believed to be more than likely apt to steer them safely back onto the path to their home. I say likely because I do have a little note here that states that if the child behaves abominably toward her, or if she happens to know that their parents have spoken badly about her, then all bets are off, I'm afraid, regarding the child. I do believe I should inform you here, my dear guests, that hags, and I'll happily list a few here, hags are beings you may want to shift your deep-seated beliefs or perceptions of, because they are often the authors of fate. Before several modern deities came to the forefront, these learned and wise women, often portrayed as wrinkled, gray, and powerless, were the ones entire societies looked up to, worshipped even, and heeded the advice of. Those who followed their gentle, fair, and loving advice prospered. Those who didn't, did not. To name for you a few, I will begin with the Grey Eye of Greece. Grey Eye being spelled G-R-A-E-A-E. This sisterly set of three mystical women were known as the Old Women, the Grey Women, or the Grey Witches. Their names were, or are, Daino, Enyo, and Pemfredo, meaning respectively, dread, horror, and alarm. Gray-haired from birth they were, and were descended from both sea deities and the snake-haired Gorgons. The malevolent three sisters were in possession of a single eye and a single tooth, which they shared by passing each precious item between themselves. The shared eye being a symbol of knowledge and power, and the tooth representing wisdom through aging. Each could only see or speak while in possession of the eye or the tooth. When Perseus petitioned the Grey Eye to learn the location of Medusa, a relative of theirs, he stole their single eye and withheld it, keeping them blind until they revealed her whereabouts. Often depicted as the very white foam of the sea, or with the head of a woman and the body of a swan, the Grey Eye had secret knowledge regarding the fate of humans, although they either could not, or through wickedness, would not change it. Next, and eerily similar, we have the Moirai, three ancient goddesses, or hags if you like, of fate, who were often worshipped in hopes of gaining a prosperous, or at least painless, life. daughters of Nyx, the goddess of night. The Moirai are said to have been present at the birth of each person as a mortal entity. The sisters had before them a great and eternal loom, upon which they spun, wove, and cut with precision the intricate tapestry of each human person's life. Clotho, the spinner, spun the thread of life for each human. Lachesis, the dispenser of lots, decided the length and measured out the lifespan of the human. And Atropo, the inevitable one, cut the thread of life at the allotted moment of your death. The human's death. But unlike the Grey Eye, the Moirai fates were a bit more flexible. As Zeus, their leader, could intervene in the happenings of one's life if he chose to. They also embedded within the cloth of a person's life a bit of free will, permitting you to make your own choices. However, the three Moirai were very keen on just desserts, always making sure that as a man sows, so shall he reap. Or more plainly, they saw to it that your actions, one way or another, always paid off in consequences. I think it important, my lovelies, to point out to you that in this brief production about compelling hags, that we are merely scratching the surface of their, queendom. Because although I am presenting a hefty handful of hags for you here, there are complete, species? Phylum? I'm uncertain. But there are river hags, fairy hags, forest hags, mer hags, and specific hags from the folklore of individual countries and states. Europe's history is rampant with hags. Isn't that wonderful? Hags spin and span the globe, I'm more than happy to say. So I've had to pick and choose which ones I thought you would, warm to. And this next hairy hag is one that I believe you'll love, but never want to encounter. Known for centuries in Filipino folklore, the Aswang Hag is considered to be a powerful old witch and a kind of vampire, a ghoul, and a weredog thing. She's complicated and dangerous and oh so hungry. Described as being reclusive and repulsive, with bloodshot eyes and wild hair, and dwelling on the fringes of society, the Aswang are said to have the ability to swiftly change in the twinkling of an eye, as they say, into common animals, sheep, pigs, and birds, enabling them to blend in and choose the humans they're, interested in. And it's nothing to do with morality here. It's nothing to do with how good you are. It's all down to how good you taste. In the shape of a werdog, with a wolf-like head and the fur-covered body of a beautiful woman, the Aswang hag hunts at night, prowling the countrysides and villages. She has been seen perched on her haunches on rooftops, with her long tongue licking the air just like a snake to sample the scent of the humans inside. And I'm afraid there's no pleading or bargaining with her once she decides that you are delectable. The Aswang hag is said to chase down or enter the house of her victim, pounce on them, and drain them of all of their blood. But what she really has a taste for is the viscera, which is a more palatable word for guts. She loves guts and is known to take her time unraveling the long, stringy innards of any poor devil she's determined to devour. One book here, I shan't tell you which one, declares that one of the most deadly and vicious breeds of Aswang is one that is a standard witch to begin with, who then enters into a contract with a specific demon, who then grants her the ability to become this particular type of brutal Aswang. These hags are known to be so very wicked that they pursue and curse the young and innocent, causing them to become ill. And when their concerned parents dash to lift them up, sand, ants, or worms gush out of their every opening. I've read. Yes, Mrs. Loomis. No, go on. I don't mind you. You're a sweetie. Go on. Yes. Oh, you must have ESP, Mrs. Loomis. The Boo Hags are next. Our lovely Mrs. Loomis, everyone. Boo Hags. Where to begin to honor them? Boo Hags have an origin that is steeped in Southern folklore. They are supremely born out of hoodoo and genuine Gullah Geechee history of South Carolina and Georgia. But truly, they are from rich West African culture. The Boo Hag is a terrifying, skinless witch with vampire-like tendencies. There's a casual and concise warning in the South, akin to don't let the bed bugs bite. They had, don't let the Boo Hag ride ya. And you would do well to heed this advice, my lovelies, because Boo Hags are night hags. Dreadful creeping things that slide in through closing doors and silently pour in over open windowsills, straddling their victims in the night, paralyzing them with fright, pinning them down, and sucking their last breaths straight from their gaping mouths. The violently suffocated person is then found dead in their bed, stone cold and blue in the face, sometimes with a good deal of their flesh missing. Why, you ask? So the Boo Hag can wear it around, of course. Silly. I do hope you like the troubling boo hag, my lovelies, because I do believe I can predict her reappearance in an upcoming reading. My. Let us have some calming and comforting etymology to wind down to. First and foremost, we have the word hagstones, which I'm sure you know are the magical stones with the naturally formed hole going straight through the center, and a much-loved item here in the Midnight Library. The hole, of course, is where all of the powerful forces dwell, and where the gifted can peer through to see the unseen. It's easy once you have the gift. Next, I've chosen the lovely word hag-ridden, which I believe makes anyone described as looking hag-ridden as fortunate. But alas, it is an uncomplimentary descriptor that means that a person looks frazzled and worn out. This comes firmly from the belief, and the fact, in my opinion, that hags are known to creep into the bedrooms of the sleeping and to climb astride them, fixing them with dread in the night, attacking them and draining them of their health and energy, leaving them just enough life to return from their nightmare with, and looking atrocious. My Aunt Megan especially can... never mind. The last word I have for you is an animal, and oh so fun, and that is the wonderful hag fish, which ironically doesn't resemble a fish in any way. A hag fish is a long, dark gray and sickly pink eel thing, famously known for producing copious amounts of sticky, stinking slime. The gushy snot tube things have a skull, but no vertebrae. They are jawless and eat with their sphinctery pulsing mouths, pulling up dead and rotting gunk off the sea floor. They resemble a kind of living yet rotting intestine, always hoping for the warm legs of a blissfully unaware human. I told you it would be comforting. So, sweet dreams, and good night, my dear guest. Good night. Mr. Darling, did I just see the Oswong hag dash through the foyer in a party dress?
You did. Sister Trixie and I are taking her to the Broom and Fang.
But she's so wild and unrefined. What are those rolled-up newspapers for? Tell me you're not going to try to attempt to discipline a vicious Oswong hag.
Never! I did manage to get her to go wee-wee on the papers, though.
She's a maniacal were-dog, darling. Not a fluffy rescue.
Not yet. Her obedience classes are next week.
We'll see about that.
Good night.
Good night.
This message is for you, my dear guest. It's important to me that you know that you are welcome and valued here. Why? Because I know that you are a real person. And I'd like you to know that in spite of what you may hear in the village, that I am a real person too. I am not an AI-generated thing, pieced together by robbing the work of others and presented by a soulless algorithm, meant to spew a random flood of content at you that only masquerades as quality entertainment. I choose the subjects I think you'll like. I diligently research the topics, using only reputable books and sites. I alone write every single word you hear. I choose each piece of music and every eerie fun sound. I am the Midnight Library. I am the Reading Room. I am every character. I am the Broom and Fang Pub, the fog that floats in the graveyard, and every Lady Gravedigger. And I am honored that you enjoy what I create. So I will ask you to support the Midnight Library, as many of my beloved friends do. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there. Thank you.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 for the 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.